بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. There are two parts to our being. One is to know and understand what is halal, what is haram, what is sunnat, what is wajib, what is farz ain, what is farz kifaya. So that deals with all that we need to know. And the other part of our deen is to apply all that to our lives. We learnt about sunnah, we learnt about wajib, we learnt about haram. We understand that there is a doubtful and grey area, and what to do in the grey area. We know the importance, for example, of the heart, the niyat, purity of the mind. So we learned all that. And now this is to deal with that which we call application. One is understanding and the other is application. Generally, our tendency is that we only understand the knowledge and the knowing to be compulsory, wajib, but the application, we don't give it that amount of importance that is required. Whereas, Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Taqi Rahmatullahi, who is the Shaykh of Hazrat Fariduddin Ganja Shakar, who is the Shaykh of Hazrat Mu'inuddin, Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Alayh. So lots of them were not formal ulama as such. Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was not known as a Mawlana. He didn't go through the formal studies. But then, this aspect of application, he perfected it so much. Purity, perfection. He got it right so well that great, great ulama like Al-Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanutvi Rahmatullah Alayh, Al-Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Kankoi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Munashab Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, all of them linked up with Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, though he didn't possess this type of knowledge, the knowing of what is halal and haram. He didn't have that extensive of knowledge. Not that he didn't have the required amount and the desired amount, but he didn't have the extensive. With all that, these people saw the need to link up with Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And in the time of Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi, great ulama like Fariduddin Ganja Shikar, they saw the need to link up with Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi. So this is where we seem not to understand the story so well. We feel that just knowing it is sufficient, or we feel that we know it, so we have it. Now, it isn't like that you know it, so you have it. Knowing it is a different thing, and having it is a different thing. Knowing it is a different thing, and applying yourself is different, two different things. Now, when we come here to seclude ourselves, call it an i'tikaf, call it a khanqah, so what is required? See, if you are overhauling the engine or you are giving a major service to the motor car, then that motor car needs to be kept in the workshop for a period of time. It's a major overhaul, it's a major service that the motor car requires. And if the motorist, he feels, no, I'll drive the thing and you fix it, I'll drive it and you fix it, he'd say that you rather keep your car. I can't manage this. Because I like to examine this, move it, understand the problems, major problems, minor problems, right? See everything properly. And that requires time. When I'm at ease, the motor car is at rest, then I can fix these things. But if you want to keep using it, and as you're using it, I must fix it up, then I can't manage this. It takes a lot of time. Want me to do the whole overhaul, do the engine, service it. I need to do the dents, I must panel beat the thing, must spray paint the thing, do everything. Right? It takes a lot of time. And that requires that you give it to me. You leave it to me. And me, in my leisure and my discretion, when I feel better, I will do that for the motor car. So similarly, see, a seclusion is like a overhaul. It's a major overhaul for this body of ours, for this heart of ours. The heart doesn't have time to think about the smaller mistakes, the discrete, subtle weaknesses of the heart. We don't have the time. Minds are going everywhere. Our hearts are going everywhere. Bodies are going everywhere. So we didn't have that amount of time to look at our major faults and our minor faults. Sometimes it had been major faults, but we deemed it to be minor. Then when we take all the time and we hear the discourses, the statements of our Muskhanadin, and we understand that what we thought to be minor, it turned out to be major. What we thought to be insignificant, it was really, really significant and important. What we thought was not right, it turned out to be the right of Allah Ta'ala, it turned out to be the right of a man. We neglected all these things here. Now that requires a lot of careful examination, scrutiny, investigation. You check all that, then you understand. Ali radiallahu anhu says that person wants to turn to Allah Ta'ala. See, the whole effort here is now the turning to Allah Ta'ala. We say, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, that we turn to Allah Ta'ala. So this turn to Allah Ta'ala must be the right turn. Now we are turning, but we're turning in the wrong direction. What's going to happen? We're trying and we're turning. But because we don't have the understanding, we're just using our discretion and just speculating. What's going to happen? We're going to create problems for ourselves because we don't know how to turn and how to work this thing out. We don't have the proper understanding. So Ali radiallahu anhu says that you want this turn, you want to refurbish, you want to renew, refresh. So now what does that require? See, so it requires, in essence, it requires four elements. One is verbally to say istighfar. Verbal istighfar means you are showing remorse to Allah Ta'ala. Right? Now that's the very first step. Now if someone is in denial, can he progress? Can't progress. He's in denial. Telling him, but this is wrong. But he's in gross denial. So how is he going to progress? We tell him, for example, you know what? This type of clothing doesn't behove a Muslim. Is not the clothing of a Muslim. Now he's in total denial. So at the first step now, you can't do anything with the person. He's in total denial. I told him, for example, you know what? You mustn't have a cross suspended on your neck. You know, you shouldn't be having a cross there. Because that's a symbol of a kafir. Now he's in gross denial. Doesn't even accept this. Can you work with the person? How are you going to work with the person? So the first level is to show regret, to show remorse. See? When a person has shown remorse, alright, now he's come onto the path. He's like as though he's got a vehicle. He's coming to the path, now at least we can work with him. Because somewhat he's agreed. Now when he's agreed, now he knows that there is a problem in him and that problem must be corrected. So he's come online. So how important it is, just only istighfar also, how important it is to acknowledge, to confess, to see that no, I was wrong. One person was admitted in the hospital for sugar. Sugar was just spiking all the time. No control, can't control the sugar. So they hospitalized him, kept him for some days. In hospital also, they can't get the thing in control. So they administering this medicine and whatever else they need to administer just to get that sugar in under control, but they can't just get it under control. After a week or so, when they had to clean his whole bed and everything else, the nurse saw that he got big slabs of chocolate under his mattress. And investigation showed that every day he had one big slab, not a small slab, not an extra large. Every day he has that. One of that, and discreetly he's taking 1-2 liter coke every day. How say, hey, play fools with us. How can that happen? How can it work? Taking so much sugar, 2 liter coke you're taking every day, and big fat slab of chocolate you're having every day, and then you want this chocolate to you want this sugar to come under control. How is it going to happen? So the first level requires confession, remorse, regret. No, I'm wrong, I didn't do it. How am I supposed to be doing it? So if he's got that level also, now he's starting off. But now the problem is when he doesn't have this level as well, then that's a major problem. Now you can't work with the person. There's no way you're going to work with him. So he needs to wholeheartedly accept, by I am wrong. When Adam alayhi salam's error was brought before him, so his first word was Rabbana Zalamna. That was the first word. Then you see Nuh alayhi salam, he did the same thing. Inni a'izuka an takuna min al-jahilin. Qala Rabbi inni a'uzubika an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi ilm wa illa taghfir li wa tarhamni. Again, when he starts off, he confesses inni a'izuka bi inni أعيذك أن تكون من الجاهلين قال ربي إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لي به علم. I wronged in this. What I wasn't supposed to be doing, I did that, so I wronged. So that's the first step. موسى عليه السلام, same thing. وكذه موسى فقضى علي قال هذا من أمر الشيطان إنه عدو مذل مبين قال ربي إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي. So as great as he is, Musa al-Islam is from the Anbiya ul-Azm, right? But when he did the mistake, and he realized that he's done a mistake, and he didn't say, no, Allah Ta'ala, I didn't intend it, and I intended right, my intention was to bring about justice, because the Bani Israel is being oppressed now, and I had to put something in place, Allah Ta'ala. So if you reconsider this action of mine, he didn't say that. So the first word that came out of his tongue when he saw that he's made a mistake, وَبِإِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Again, but Adam alayhi salam said, Nuh alayhi salam did the same, and Musa alayhi salam did the same. They had to say this thing, رَبِّإِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَخْفِلِّي. So the first step in this whole path is to show remorse, to show regret, I've done this, right? In fact, even if we have violated someone's right, whether it was finance, whether it was his reputation, whether it was something that was connected to him, emotions, whatever, then the first thing that we do in the rectification process is showing remorse. But I'm sorry about this. You're driving and you're rushing into his car. I'm sorry about this, it had to happen. And then you work out, alright, what is the compensation? How should you compensate? How should you correct this? But you do show some remorse. Now at that point, you say, hey, not a problem. This, what is this? Not my mistake. You don't show remorse at all. No remorse at that point. What happens to that person? No, I'll fix him up. Doesn't it go in his mind that now I'll fix him up? So that first point was, I show remorse. You have made an error. You are the Bani Adam. And Adam alayhi salam started this process. So it can't be wrong. when he started this process, then you must follow. You are the son, you are the ulad of Adam alayhi salam, then you also show it. Now, in this day and age, in my understanding, amongst the biggest mistake is this, that we are not prepared to accept, I am wrong, I made a mistake, Allah, do forgive me. Whereas you look at this awliya kiram, mashayikh, and as they escalate, then the feelings of them being wrong, the deficiencies, the weaknesses, become more and more glaring to them. Right? To them it becomes more and more glaring. One great Buzurg, he received a drink from Jannat. A drink of Jannat came to him. Buzurg, so he made out, it's not a shaitanic thing, this is from Allah Ta'ala, and a drink from Jannat. Now, as he received it in life, not in the dream, he received it and received it in life. As he received it, he started crying. But this is a drink of Jannat, why do you cry? So he says, I do not know whether this is istidraj. This is a subtle way of Allah Ta'ala throwing me out of his presence. I'll get into this, and when I get into this, then I'll think too much of myself. And when I think too much of myself, and then I'll be thrown out. So I don't know, this is a subtle way of throwing me out. Istidraj. Sanastadrijuhum min haythu la ya'lamun. In degrees will we drop them. You drop the person slowly, gradually, in degrees, in a way that he can't even understand that he's being dropped. But now see that he is receiving divine help from Jannat. But in that help, he still checks himself. Okay, is there any ujub, self-admiration involved or not? See, in any context or any consequence, what we need to do is to see what am I required to do, what Allah Pak wants me to do. He says something, that person says something, the third person is saying something else. But now just put yourself before Allah Ta'ala, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, standing before Allah Ta'ala, what does Allah Ta'ala want? I can appease him, I can please him, I can make him mentally comfortable, but does this work with Allah Ta'ala? So a mu'min needs to see now, under the circumstance, what will bring the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? What am I supposed to be doing to please Allah Ta'ala? And in the process, we need to check on ourselves. Not on this person, that person, the third person. That's not your duty. A sheikh may do this to his murid, to his mutalliqeen. But now the mutalliqeen has come to correct himself. He's come for what? For refurbishing, for revamping, for reservicing. Right? So now, it's a minor mistake, the sheikh would bring it to his attention. It's a minor thing. Correct yourself. It's not right. Now that is the sheikh's work. But our work is, we are not all mashayikh. Or even if we are mashayikh, every person is not our murid. Right? When every person is not our murid, then what is our duty? Our duty is by check into ourselves. Like, come here now. And am I right or am I not right? What is the context? What am I supposed to be doing? By Allah Ta'ala, how will I feature by Allah Ta'ala? That's what I need to know. If I'm featuring well with Allah Ta'ala, then it's not a problem. No problem, no fikr. I got all my ducks in the row. Everything is work. Everything I've got it. Right? So, you got everything in line. So inshallah, it should be good, right? But that's what we're supposed to be seeing. Right? So, you see how Nuh alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, but the Rasul is teaching her, Aisha radiyallahu anha, إِنَّكَ عَفُونَ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ. This is what you need to do. Get maaf. Ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Abu Bakr Siddiq is asking, the favorite of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best. أَفْضَلُ الْبَشَرِ بَعْدُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِالتَّحْقِيقِ Abu Bakr Siddiq. So with all that, but the special, exclusive dua that has been taught to him, إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Same dua. Starting off, I am wrong. I've wronged, I've messed it up, I've... So now, when you start off like that, so you start off on the right track, you start off on the right road, I've wronged, right? So that means the greatest scrutiny is on yourself, not on that person, what he's intending, what he's doing, and what his behavior is like. That's not your problem. But yes, you are your problem. You are your problem. And to avoid yourself, to run away from yourself, really, there can't be a more foolish thing than that. I'm running away from myself. My reality is I'm running away from. So Ali Raji says that the first step on the plan of connecting to Allah Ta'ala, first, when you have to connect, is to show remorse. The second step after showing remorse is to ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. You ask, you will show remorse, and after showing remorse, now you ask forgiveness. I've messed it up. I ask your forgiveness. You like forgiving, so Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. I've wronged. In all this, what is coming out, what is featuring, is our humility, right? And Allah Pak wants this. What He wants from us is to show, we must show humility. Be humble. Especially before Him, you must be humble. Now that humility requires, you must express it before Him. From your heart, from your limbs, from your actions and behavior. Then in the court of Allah Ta'ala, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, show your humility. Show me your humility. Yeah, humility requires, ask for forgiveness. Right, so first you show remorse, then you beg Allah Pak's forgiveness. I've wronged, right? That's the second. The third point Adi Raja impresses upon is then, after you have shown remorse, number two, you have asked for forgiveness, right? Number three is then, rectify the situation. Whatever wrong you have done, now rectify it. What will it mean? How do I rectify the situation? I've, for example, knocked your car. So what the rectification requires? Correcting, what does it require? I have not paid your money. So what correction, what does it require? Right? I have not paid you, and I'm supposed to be paying you, but I didn't pay you on time. So now correction, what does it require? How do I get this right? How do I rectify myself? How do I correct myself? What does it require of me to correct myself? Now, in that I must look, I must be man enough to see, all right, this correction, what does it require? It requires of me to take out a million there and give it to that person. I mustn't hesitate, I mustn't be reluctant to do it. If it requires of me to think of myself from the day I became of age and what I have been doing at that time till now, I must be man enough to check up, right, my statements, my dealings, my transactions, my socializing, my mixing with people, etc. What have I done? So you're taking out the time to rectify everything, put everything straight, everything correct, small things or big things, but I'm putting everything in place. So this is the third rectifying. One person came to the Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he wanted to take bayat. So Mawlana asked him, but did you steal at any time? Did you rob anybody at any time? He said, bohut se martaba. Many times I robbed. Kisi ki jeb kaati kya, a lot of time I was a pickpocket. I pickpocketed him a lot of places. So Mawlana says, alright, go and sort all these things out first. So he was really keen about correcting himself. See, when a person is keen, he doesn't need to be an alim. He needs to have a concern. Amma man aata wattaqa. See that? The shart is he needs to be concerned. Taqwa is translated here as concern. So that concern doesn't mean that he is an alim. That ilm required that he should have that concern. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So that concern will drive him. But if that ilm is not bringing that concern, then there's some wrong, there's some weakness in that ilm. That ilm is not ilm. Because that ilm was supposed to be producing concern. يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. If you didn't bring about the concern, then really that ilm is not ilm. Yes, that ilm brought some concern. Fikr, concern. I need to do something about myself. Right. Now that's called ilm. So now this person is a pickpocket, his whole life has been robbing and cheating. Suddenly that concern came, overwhelmed him. Mullah is going to fix this thing up. So he took the time. He didn't hesitate, he didn't tell anything. So I need to fix myself. If that's what is required, that I must be man enough to go through the embarrassment, must be man enough to go under anything. I need to correct this thing. Now I don't want to bring any embarrassment on myself, but I want to be rectified there. It can't work. If it requires some embarrassment, you need to go through some embarrassment, then go through the embarrassment. That is the meaning of concern. But if you're not concerned, then you are more concerned about your ego than the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. How will people view you? That becomes a great concern. And how you viewed by Allah Ta'ala, that's a smaller concern. See, as the Shu'ayb alayhi salam says, أَرَهْتِي أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَوْ لَا رَهْتُكَ لَرَجَمْنَاكَ. Had it not been for your family, you know, your standing, we would have finished you up. And what he says, أَرَهْتِي أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. But my family and my reputation means more to you than the concern of Allah Ta'ala, than the fikr and the khuf of Allah Ta'ala. This means more to you. She said, so now, this is where we stand in this day. So there's too much of emphasis and too much of concern about myself. How do I feature me? What will people say about me? I won't have anything left. So that becomes the major concern. And the relationship with Allah Ta'ala becomes a secondary thing. See, you have to bring that in. Bring that now. How do I appear before Allah Ta'ala? If Allah Ta'ala is happy, it's alright. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the same thing. That dua that he made after returning from Taif, right? So, there's some beautiful words. أَشْكُرُ إِلَيْكَ ضَعْفَ قُوَّتِي وَقِلَّةْ حِيلَتِي وَهَوَانِي إِلَى النَّاسِ إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِتًا عَلَيَّ. Outwardly it seems like I've been humiliated, stoned, thrown out, pelted, right? Outwardly this is what it seems like. But إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِتًا عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَلْ. As long as you're not happy, Allah, you are not displeased. As long as, Allah Ta'ala, you aren't displeased. Now we are looking at, hey, now from now, what will people say now? You know, I was thrown out, I was jeered, I was stoned, and I've been thrown out from a whole town. What they thought of me, or what people think of me. Is there any way now you can rectify? But now see, the Nabi is teaching you, إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِتًا عَلَيَّ فَلَاوْ بَرِ. If I leave your reputation, everything, the greatest thing is now, how do you feature before Allah Ta'ala? If that is right, then there's nothing to be concerned about, nothing to be worried about. So now you see, this man here is ordinary layman, but he's got this as the primary concern, that Allah Pak mustn't be displeased. So he went, I robbed this person here, I pickpocketed this person, I was traveling by train, by bus, that person, I robbed him. So anyway, he went, and after about 1-2 months, he did everything and came back. Mullah says, did you sort yourself out? I said, yes, I sorted myself out. So what's the proof that you sorted yourself? So I said, Mullah, you know, I know you are very particular. I know that you are very particular. So, that I know that you are particular, I got this all written down. I robbed this person here for so much at this point. I robbed that person at this point for so much, I robbed him, right? And I've got all of them to sign that they've made maaf. All of them, without exception. Some Hindu I robbed, some non-Muslim, some Muslim. I cheated here and everywhere I cheated. But whatever amounts I had robbed people for, I've got that all in writing. So Mu'az says that, how do I know that what you have recorded here is true? Mu'az says, I got the addresses and I will buy the prepaid envelopes and I will show you the letters and the responses. And he was very concerned. Mawlana liked to see the person is concerned. So Mawlana's main concern in his whole Islahi program was to drive the aspect of concern in you. You've got fikr. But fikr, then everything will work. But you don't have that as a main fikr. It's coming by the way. So this is going to be a hard nut to crack. I won't be able to work with this person. So his whole fikr concern was, I must create a fikr in you. I'm wrong, I need to correct myself. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Come to that first point. I'm going to do everything else to it. A lot of nafil namaz and some wazifas and whatever else. But you leave the main things. The main things you left out, and you want to do all that, right? It's like you put up a massive building, and no foundation. If they come to a flood, what will happen? Heavy, major flood comes, what happens? The whole thing will fall. Put up such a big thing. It looks so magnificent, but you don't have the base right, you don't have the foundation right. So when I was reading the letter, the responses that this person received, he stole so much, the biggest amount he stole from a Hindu. Now the Hindu normally, by birth, he's got an attachment to wealth. From birth to death, he's got a great attachment to wealth. That Ahmad Basau comes in out of it. So he says that, he remembers when he was a small, young boy, right? They were living perhaps in Inanda somewhere. So there were a lot of Indians living there, Hindus are living there, right? And when someone is coming onto the pangs of death, is close to death, right? And he's having a hard time passing away. So they would call his uncle or someone. You know, this person is having a difficulty, problem. So do something, and he must this way or that way, one of the two. He is in or he's out, one of the two. So he will ask him, "Or you've got some gold?" He'll get the gold and he put it to his mouth. When he put it into his mouth, there he dies. So now I'm thinking, what was the relationship? The relationship was, he had that type of an obsession for money, for gold, right? So when he got that thing, then he drowned in that love, and with that love he died. See, he drowned, he's drunken with that love, and he died in that. Now similarly, if someone has a deep attachment for Quran Sharif, Namaz, Zikr. Sometimes you notice, you just call, the Azan is called and he's leaving. Azan is being called and he's just leaving at that time. So he had a deep attachment. So he had such an attachment, he wanted this. Once he got that, like, he became drunken and he just left, he just departed, you see. So now, this Hindu, he's been robbed for a big amount. But the major amount, biggest amount, was that which was owed to that Hindu. So now, that Hindu writes it, "Maine hasbatan lillah aapko maaf kar diya. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I have forgiven you. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I have forgiven you." But now you see what you need to understand. When you took that one step to Allah Ta'ala, and how quick Allah Ta'ala's aid came to your rescue. See? You came, you showed, you know, I'm concerned. So Allah Pak put it to his mind, make him maaf now. Who controls the mind? He just took the step. And, you know, it took a wild chance. If this person now, it's your confession, I'm going to take you to court. There'll be a problem, major problem. But now he took that step, and then the help of Allah Ta'ala came to his rescue, ran to his rescue. Hasbatan lillah, maine tujhe maaf kar diya. So now that's the third element, the third part of the Tawbah program. See, rectification, improving, correcting. That's the third part. The fourth element in this whole Islahi program is, now you need to understand, alright, this was a wrong. It was committed in this area, and this was the circumstance that I've committed the wrong. Right? Now, to the best of your ability, you'll avoid that whole area. I know I came here, and I messed it up, I caused it for myself. So I can't take a second chance. See if you know, like, you know, you took a poison, for example, and you understood now, hey, you went into some difficulties that hospitalized you and you were between death and life, and they flushed the whole thing out and you just came back, right? So can you take a second chance? So let me take a second chance. Can you take it? You don't know what will happen after that. So you'll just avoid that totally. The area which could have destroyed you, it could have annihilated you, could have finished you up, you avoid that area, that person, that circumstance, whatever. Now, you got a phone, for example, and you know the wrongs that go into it, right? Sometimes it's a group work, right? And there's so much, you know, with the whole topic here was about rebirth, etc., right? Rebirth and the ummah being divided, right? Divisions within the ummah, etc., right? But most of it is coming to the phone. Most of it, I won't say all, but most of it is through the phone or through the radio, one of the two. This is what is bringing all this type of thing. And I don't have that heart to go and separate the facts from falsehood, facts and falsehood. I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the strength to do it. So I must just take that which I am certain about. I'm clear, all, everybody is certain about. I just go with that. The rest of it, I'm not clear. So I don't want to risk. So now, perhaps he said it this way, so therefore let me go with him. Perhaps he said it this way, so let me go with him. Yeah, now what is absolutely clear? Let me just hold on to that and move on. This is absolutely clear. There is no contamination in this. There is no mixed area, no grey area in this. Let me just take that and move on. I said, no, I'll take this. I'll look after myself. You risk, like you took that poison, and with a lot of difficulty, they flushed it out, right? You could have died. So you're not going to take the thing. You're not going to take a second chance. You know the second chance, how much more fatal it can be. The first one was so difficult. The second one will happen. So you're not going to take a second chance. So now this is the fourth point, as Ali Raziyan says, that to get the tawbah perfected, and this area where you had fallen down, area, the person, the instrument, or whatever else was the cause of it, now you're going to remain, you're going to come out of it, come out of it, no matter what it cost you. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to fall into it again. Once, first time and last time, I don't want to fall into this again forever. As long as I live with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to pretend like I'm very strong, I can take the waves, I can manage it, right? One person was living here in Spingo, 1981 or something, he drowned in the neighborhood. One Muslim was living there. So he was a lifesaver. Now the sudden urge came into him on a hot day, a little bit of hot day, and an urge came onto him, he knew he would swim. Very, very wealthy, only son, right? And he went. And as he dived, the weather just changed and the storm just picked up. When he picked up, now he thought, hey, I'm an expert lifesaver, I can do it, I can manage it. He went on. That's now 1981, and now it's 2020, right? So approximately 39 years. They can't find his body. Gone, it's gone. So you don't take a chance with these things. You can see now, these things, something is not in my control. It's not my control, I mustn't take a chance. And if I'm going to take a chance, then the damage sometimes is irreparable. I can't. It'll be worse off. I'd rather just cut my losses and move on. Rather than taking that on, you know, head on, and then the losses are unrepairable, beyond repair, then what's going to happen? Okay. So these are 4 points that Ayyan says in the Tawbah program. See, we're starting off. Right? So Allah Ta'ala accept this, but we need to know the game plan. What is the ground plan? We know the ground plan, then we know how to take ourselves. It mustn't be that we learn about Tawbah as we're leaving. Now we know the Tawbah and what it requires from the very, very beginning. Alright, now I know this is what is required. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Inshallah, I hope, not in myself, but in the grace of Allah Ta'ala. If I do this, then Allah Pak will rescue me, inshallah. Allah Pak tawfiq nasib.